Open our Bibles tonight to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. It's the same story we've read from on Sunday. But instead of reading Luke's account again, I want to just read Mark's account just for variety, I guess, difference. And we're going to pick up again and deal with some more, maybe hopefully tonight finish, on the subject, go is in God and the gospel, which has been our theme for this month. I'm not through preaching on it. The Lord has led us some other areas and other things to deal with as the Lord will lead us to do so. But I pointed this out on Sunday that three different times the word go appears in this story of Jesus healing the demoniac of Gadara. The first go was when He told the disciples in Luke 8 and verse 22 to let us go unto the other side. The second go is when He told the demons to go out of the man. And the third go was when He told the demoniac after he got saved, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things I've done for you. So there's the three goes. But go is in the gospel. Go is in the plan of God. A lot of people they're glad Jesus had a go as He came from heaven to earth. Thank God for that go. I'm glad he had that go in His life. And I'm glad he went through this, His walk of life, Brother Carroll, sinless. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that He overcame every obstacle. I'm glad that He had a go to Calvary in His life. I'm glad He went to the cross. I'm glad of that go. I'm glad He had the go of where He was buried. I'm glad He had that go. I'm glad He had that go when He went to the heart of the earth and led captivity captive and got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I'm glad He had that go. I'm glad He had another go when He come out of the grave. Hallelujah. He got up, amen. Come out of the grave, and then there's another go. I'm glad He went back to heaven as our high priest and sent back the comforter. Hallelujah. We're glad there's those goes in the life of Jesus. Praise God for that. But I want to tell you, it's not just that. It's when as illustrated in our text, He didn't just go to the other side and heal this man or save this man, but He has, in result, commissioned this man to go to his friends and family and people that knew him and be a witness to them. So let's deal with that in Mark 4, verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now that's the Luke's account of that very statement there is, let us go. Verse 22 of Luke 8, let us go over unto the other side. Verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And Luke adds another statement and said, and they were in jeopardy. They were in jeopardy. Verse number 38, and He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow, and they awake Him, and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea. Boy, isn't that a blessing? When they questioned, Master, do you care? He showed He cared by speaking. Oh, yes. I just saw that. They questioned, Master, do you care? And He rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And what's this? Verse 40. And He said unto them. See, God is not just able to speak to our circumstance and our storm and our situations, but God is able to speak to us. And we also will find out later on, just for food for thought, later on in this, we read this, you'll find out that He doesn't just speak to storms, and He speaks to the saints, speaks to the sea, but He's able to speak to Satan, or spirits, when He says, go. And they had to obey Him. Thank God this whole story revolves around a speaking Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that. And as much emphasis has already been in the service just in the last few minutes about that, I believe we better perk up our ears. Amen. Because God's trying to say something to us. And He said unto them, verse 40, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another. Now that's usually what speaking we do. Instead of talking to the Lord, we talk one to another. Boy, it's going on it's pretty bad, ain't it? Yeah, it is. That's real dark. How is it with you? Well, I don't know. I'm about to go under. And before, help us, Jesus. Amen. And they said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey Him. And they came over unto the other side. Verse 35 of chapter 4 said, let us pass over unto the other side. Verse 1 of chapter 5, and they came over unto the other side. When God says something, it's so. I like that song Miss Debbie just got through singing, a song that she wrote during a very dark time of her life. And you can count on His promises. You can count on His promises because what He says is so. He don't say something jokingly. He don't say something just pulling your leg, as we would term it. No, when He speaks, He means it. You say, when He spoke that, did He not know a storm was going to be in the way? Of course. When He spoke that, did He not know there would be some unbelieving disciples in the way? Of course. Did He know that there was going to be all these obstacles in the way? Yes, He did. But it's good to note tonight that not even the storms, and I take joy and take note in this. I'm glad that even the unbelieving disciples didn't even stop Him. Amen. I know the Bible says, according to faith, so be it unto you. And I know that our unbelief hinders God. The Bible says that. It teaches us that. I believe it's in Matthew 13, the last verse said, and He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So it's evident. But I'm going to tell you, the overall plan of God is not hinging on whether you believe Him. Amen. Amen, brother. That's exactly right. The overall plan of God, brother, listen, is God said it and it's going to be. It's going to come to pass. When it's all said and done, it's going to be all said and done. Amen. Woo, I'm glad it don't rest on me. I'm glad it don't ride on my shoulders. I'm glad He's the one that is in charge. And when He said, let us go to the other side, He didn't put no ifs, ands, or buts in there. He said it, meant it, because He knew it. He's already, amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's already been there. He didn't have to get there to go there. Or go there to get there. He's already there. He knew all about the demoniac. That's why He was a-going that way. Woo! Glory! And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when He was come out of the ship, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. Watch this statement here. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. I'll tell you, that's pretty severe situation. A man have a problem that not even chains could not bind him. I remember what Aaron Carpenter said to me when I was talking to him when he first went down there. And he said, you know, he was wanting to go to some place in Johnson City that he said was more strict than down there. And I made the statement, strictness is not what you need. You don't need a bunch of chains and you don't need a bunch of bars around you to confine you. I said, what you need is a spiritual heart transplant. You need to be born again. Hallelujah. And of His testimony, that's what has happened. It's not chains that you need. Amen. Well, I'm going to have to go or I'm not going to get nowhere. Verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped Him. Well, we could comment on that. But verse 7 says, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure Thee by God that Thou torment me not. For He said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And He asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And a word legion is a word that describes the largest unit of a Roman army that would be anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers in a legion. And so this man said that his name was Legion, referring to that, that inside of him was anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 demon spirits. My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that he may enter into them. That we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. This man had enough demons in him by himself individually. What went into 2,000 swine, and they couldn't handle it. Can you imagine what a case that was? I believe you could describe that as an impossible case. Hopeless case. They done wrote this man off and said ain't no hope and no help for him. They tried every dose of religion and probably every effort of reformation to no avail. They tried to straighten the outside, but it didn't happen because his problem was inner, not outer. Well, amen. Now listen. And verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. I like that. I like that word done. Amen. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed. That I like that word was. You're to circle that word was. Jesus is able to put a was in your life. Amen. Or He's able to put a were in your life. Like in 1 Corinthians, when He gave that list of people that will not inherit the kingdom of God, then He said, and such were some of you. I'm glad there's a bunch of was crowd in here and a were crowd. We're not what we used to be. We're not where we used to be. Why? Because of the amazing intervening grace of a Savior that was more powerful than our problem. Amen. You may have a problem, but I've got good news. Jesus is more powerful than your problem. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. 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 And they come to Jesus and see Him that was possessed with the devil and had, there's your another past tense word, and had the legion. And I like this present tense, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. If you don't have a difference between past and present, then your past still is your present. Amen. He was sitting, that's present tense. He was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. That was present. All those three was present tense. Whereas the others had been possessed or was possessed and had the legion. Was you a good thought? Is there a difference in your past and your present? If your present still has the same identity as your past, then your past is still your identity. Amen. God changes people. Listen, I got to... Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. That's hard to believe. Verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home. There's that third go we referenced earlier. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Now we're talking about the go in the gospel. First we pointed out Sunday morning there is the partners of go. Let us go unto the other side. Let us. That us references the partners that's involved. It's not just you going by yourself. There's an us in there. Amen? And that us includes one, the others that were in the ship. And it includes, secondly, the omnipotent one that was in the ship. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm not in this alone. Sometimes you feel like it, but we're not. Thank God for the partners of go. And then number two, we pointed out Sunday morning the perils of go. The perils, the problems, the things that arise in your life that would try to hinder and stop and halt you from going as God told you to. And there'll be storms in your life that'll come. There'll be storms in your life. But I want to move on and I want to deal with a third thing, and that is the purpose of go. The purpose of go. And that is simply God had something, Jesus had something in mind when He said to the disciples, get into the ship and let us go unto means point reached, unto the other side. In other words, Jesus had something in mind. No, let me rephrase that. Jesus had someone in mind when He made that command, that commission to go to the other side. That wasn't a vacation trip. That was a commission. He knew of that legion. He knew of that man that could not be tamed. He knew of that. And He said, let us go unto the other side. You saw a preacher who went for other things. Show that to me in the Scripture. He went for one purpose and one purpose only. He left heaven to come to this earth for one purpose and one purpose only. Hey, man. And that is people need the Lord. What man cannot do, God can do. Hey, man. And our world's filled with people that need the Lord. They've tried this and they've tried that and, oh yes, but nothing will work like He can. Yeah, amen. There was a purpose, and that is, go always has a destiny. When God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, He's got people in mind. He's got a destiny. He's got something He's trying to accomplish. What's this? Jesus said go because He was trying to get them from where they are to where the sinner was. When God's telling us to go, and He's telling all of us that are saved to go, all of us. To be saved is a call to service. Amen. God doesn't have to speak audibly from the clouds. If you're saved, you've been called by that to be a servant of the Lord. To be called, listen, to be saved, you are a disciple of Jesus. Amen. Let me say this, that Jesus, when He says go, He's trying to get you to where they are. That's His purpose. That's His purpose for saying go. We must go that others may know. Now, Lord, give me this thought today. As I was driving, I was at the hospital actually thinking about this verse, about this passage, about this story. If these saints, these servants on board the ship, had they let the storm stop them, had they turned around and paddled back or rowed back to the shore from whence they came, there would have been a sinner on the other side that would have never been reached with the gospel. How many people are allowing the storms of life to, my friend, stop them where God says go? God's put a green light and we're putting a red light there. We're said, Lord, do you not see what's going on in my life? Do you not see the storm? Do you not see the situation? Do you not see how I am physically or whatever, or financially, whatever the case is? Had these men let the storm stop them, there would have been a sinner on the other side that would have never met the Master and would have never gotten saved. I believe this. I believe this. For every child of God that quits on the Lord and throws in the towel, there will be somebody go to hell over it. Because I believe that God intends on every child of God to reach somebody with the gospel. You ought not to want to go to heaven alone. You ought to want to, somewhere along your Christian journey, a good prayer would be, if you've never won anybody to the Lord, you ought to say, Lord, please, before I die, please let me win somebody to Jesus. Let my life have an influence on somebody. Amen. So the purpose of go is that others may know. If we don't go, Jesus does not go. Because as they, listen, Jesus wasn't paddling the boat. Jesus wasn't manning the boat. Jesus wasn't maneuvering the boat. Jesus was just on board. As if to say, all right, boys, you get me over there and I'll work. You get me to them and I'll work. Amen. He is asleep. He wasn't paddling. You say, well, they'd have made it to the other side without them. No. Jesus gave the direction, but it was in cooperation with their duty that got them the other side. That boat didn't have a motor on it. It didn't have a Mercury on it or a Johnson on it, amen? It had manpower and possibly a sail stuck in the air, but either way, it took people doing their part to get Jesus to where He needed to be. So the whole purpose behind go is to get Jesus there. Now let me say this. Keep in mind, go is to get you from where you are to where they are. Right? So wouldn't that imply that there's a distance between where you are and where they are? Nobody will ever be one to God from a distance. Oh yes, listen to this. This is good right here. Lord, give it to me. No one will ever be one to Christ from a distance. Now watch this. You can deal with the distance by going without losing the difference. Now I know that you're looking at me like, what? I'm going to explain. You can deal with the distance by going. Go takes you from where you are to where sinners are, right? Go takes you from where you are to where you need to be. Where you need to be is where sinners are. Now watch this right here. You can deal with the distance, Brother Silas, without losing the difference. In other words, when you go, you can do away with the distance, but you can still be different from those that you're going to try to win. Amen? A lot of people today has got this worldly concept that if I'm going to win them, I've got to not only go where they are, but I've got to be like they are. Are you listening? But that concept is nowhere to be found in the Scripture. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus went home with Zacchaeus, my friend, who was a sinner. But you'll never find where Jesus dipped His colors. You'll never find where He compromised. You'll never find where He, my friend, was any less than what He needed to be. You win them by going. That takes care of the distance. But always maintain the difference. Because if you're not different, then they'll just look at you as, hey, there's one of us. There's another one. All right? Amen? So, closeness deals with where they are. Likeness deals with what they are. If you're going to win somebody to God, you're going to have to touch them. You're going to have to touch their life with your life. They're going to have to see something out of you. They're going to have to see something out of you. They're going to have to hear something out of you if you're going to win them to Jesus. And I'm going to say to you, dear friend, listen, I wish our whole church was here tonight. Listen, you say, well, I love my friends. You don't love your friends if you, when you're around them, are like them. You don't love them. When you are like them, when I mean like them, I'm talking about you conform to their pattern of life. You listen to the same music, look like them, talk like them, use the same words, tell the same jokes, all those things and many other things could be piled into that. When you are like them, you don't love them. You love yourself more. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Because you're wanting yourself to be recognized. You're wanting yourself, oh, come on now. You're wanting yourself to be recognized more than you are wanting them to be reached. You're wanting to fit in more than they getting saved. Amen. You're wanting their approval more than you are wanting to see them saved by the grace of God. Amen. Closeness deals with where they are. God wants us to be where they are. God doesn't want us to build us a little a city and call it a monastery and get in behind closed walls and live our little Christian life. No. God wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. God wants us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So there's the purpose. The purpose. Let me deal with this right here. Man, I hope I can get on this last point. Lord, give me this today as well. Talking about the purpose. The purpose of us going is that we're taking Jesus, who is the able one, who is the sufficient one, the powerful one, taking Him to the task. It's not the disciples going, it's Jesus going. Amen. It didn't say that when they landed on that shore there and they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when He was come out of the ship, immediately there met Him out of the tombs, a man with unclean spirit. This unclean spirit didn't see them. They saw Him. We need Jesus to be seen. If people's going to get saved, they've got to see a Savior. And there's only one Savior. And that's Jesus. Jesus is not, listen, come on now. Jesus is not going to be walking up and down the streets of Rogersville today. Don't expect to see Jesus walking through town tomorrow. You say, well, preacher, how is it that people's going to get saved? They'll never get saved till they see Jesus. And they'll never see Jesus until they see Jesus in believers. That is why the devil hates with a passion the preaching and the practicing of sanctification and separation, is because, listen, living a life that is not separated, you are covering up, you're putting something over your candle that's lit. And what good is a candle that's lit if it's underneath a bushel, or in one place in the Bible talking about underneath a bed? What good is that? Huh? Amen. God help us, Jesus. But watch this right here. Boy, this is good. Why was it that Jesus said, let us go to the other side, and then let them encounter a severe storm? And if you go with God and go for God, there'll be storms in your life. You can count on it. But why? Well, there's more reasons to that than I've got time to preach right now. One, it shows Him who He is. I mean, if had there not been a storm, then there would have never been the testimony of what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey. Without the storm, there could have never been that. Without the storm, there could have never been the peace given by the peacemaker. Amen? There's all kinds of reasons we could point in there to strengthen their faith, the surface, their unbelief, the surface, how shallow their faith really was, and all of that. But here's the two main things that I want to talk about right here, and I'm going to go on real quickly, and that is simply this. He said, go. And a lot of people in this world today that names the name of Christ, they're asking the question, preacher, why? Why go? Did you know, Brother Silas, that it is possible? I mean, a man that could not be tamed to a man and broke chains and fetters and all of that. Brother Carroll, don't you think that pretty much everybody around in different regions around probably knew about this man? Probably heard about this man. Could it be that the disciples knew where they were going? They were going to the country of the Gadarenes, and they probably no doubt knew, hey, isn't that where that wild man's at? And one of them could have thought, why go when it's hopeless? Jesus, haven't you heard? They've tried chains and fetters, and they've tried prisons, and they've tried this and that and the other, and nothing works. Why go, preacher? Why go when it looks to be hopeless? And then He allows them, before they ever get to there, to go through a hopeless situation. Boy, I saw that today. He allowed them to get in a storm when they throwed up their hands and said, pretty much all hope that we should be saved is gone. Amen. The ship has been beaten and is now full, and we are in jeopardy. Are you listening? And Jesus let them get to the point where their hands was empty and their hands was in the air, and they didn't know what in the world they were going to do. Jesus let them get to that place where He could step into the hopeless, step into the helpless situation, and do what needed to be done to show, here comes the two reasons, to show the disciples that He can calm any storm in their life. Boy, this is good right here. But Brother Chuck, I don't believe that He allowed this storm to come just to show the disciples that He can calm their storms and that He's bigger than their problems. And even when it looks hopeless, He can turn it around. But I believe that there on the distant shore, on the hillside of the Gadarenes, was a wild man full of devils. May have been sitting out on one of them tombs, watching this situation. Watching this ship being beaten, tossed, and thrown about, and looked like was going to go under. And probably that demoniac watch, you say, I don't believe he did. Well, that's why you don't get blessed. You don't believe nothing. Amen? Why could he not have seen it? That sea wasn't that large, and they were already a good ways across when this storm hit, probably in the middle. And I want to tell you, it's very likely that that man on the hillside of the Gadarenes, which was a hill country, and that tomb, most of the time they put the tombs up there, and I want to tell you, no doubt about it, he could have seen what was going on, saw that storm hit, and saw what was going on. And then all of a sudden, when it looked to be hopeless, and it looked like he might even have said, well, that ship's going under. That storm's going to sink that one. No hope there. And then all of a sudden, just about that fast, peace hit that lake and the storms was over and the winds laid down and the waves laid down and the lightning quit flashing and the thunder quit rolling. Amen. And that man probably thought, you know what? I don't know what just transpired down there, but whatever happened on that sea, I sure would love to happen in my soul. Because I've got a storm in me that man cannot control. And man is, it's bigger than man. It's bigger than me. But the same Lord that showed the disciples, He can turn it around, showed the demoniac, He could do the same for him. Amen. Let me give you this. This probably the most convicting thing I've run across in the Bible in a long time. This is my next point, point number four, the priority of go. I'm just going to deal with these. We've got to go. Amen. But there's a priority of go. Boy, when I saw this, Brother Jeremy, I'm telling you, it convicted me. Still convicts me. I mean, it's a message all in itself. But look at this right here, verse 38 and 39. This is after the man was made whole and all that. Watch this right here, where are we at? Well, I'm giving you the verses for Luke 8. Let me just find it here in Mark 4, or Mark 5. Mark 5 and verse 16, or verse 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, that he had been possessed of the devil, watch this. The one that had been possessed of the devil, the one that had gotten saved, watch what he's wanting. Prayed him. Luke calls it, and he besought him, beg, ask, beg. What's this? And him who was possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Jesus, let me go with you. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Oh, you've done what nobody could do. You took one that could not be tamed, and you have touched my life, and I'll never be the same. You're giving somebody back their son, and possibly giving somebody back their husband, possibly giving back some child, their daddy. Oh, Jesus, I want to go with you. I'm talking about the priority of go. Jesus, please let me go with you. I want to go with you. I believe everybody saved wants to be with Jesus. Everybody saved loves the presence of God. Now watch this. Are y'all ready? Jesus, let me go with you. Let me be with you, Jesus. And you can understand his feelings. Can you understand how deep those feelings are? I mean, here's a man that just changed his life. Here's a man, I mean, completely and radically and forever changed his life. Jesus did. The gratitude that was there was enormous. The adoration was enormous. The worship was enormous. For Jesus. Attachment to Jesus was absolutely wonderful. Jesus, let me go with you! Watch this right here. The priority of go. When he wanted to go with Jesus, Jesus said no. Watch it. Boy, this is powerful. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. No. I've got something greater for you to do. You see the priority? You're wanting to go with me. You're wanting to be with me. But right now, I've got something else that needs to be done. I need you to not go with me. I need you to go for me. Here's the conviction that got on my heart. Going for the Savior meant more to Jesus than going with the Savior meant to that man. I don't know if you've got that. Write it down and think about it tomorrow. Going with Jesus meant a lot to that man. But going for Jesus meant more to the Savior. Jesus makes it a priority. Go. Isn't that convicting? My soul. How many people, all they want is the presence of Jesus, and that's understandable. We love it. We love it, and I've got to have it. But Jesus thinks more about going for Him than going with Him. But here's the thing about it. We don't have to choose, because here's the thing. Right now, we're in the going for Him stage, but soon we're going to be going to be with Him. Because Jesus said in John 14, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Here comes that where I am, there you may be also. Amen? Oh, Brother Chuck, there's a time coming. There's a time coming. Hallelujah, there's a time coming when we'll be with Him forever. Never to be separated. Never be separated from Him. Amen? Oh, I like it, don't you? 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And here it comes, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Folks, there's coming a time that we're going to be forever with Him. But right now, we're in that for Him stage. Amen? Want you to be with me. We're going to be with Him, praise God. But right now, He's interested in your home. He's interested in your neighbors. Amen? Because He told him, go home to thy friends. You know what He's saying? You going for me is more useful to me right now than you going with me. Why did He send Him home? Why did He send Him to His neighbors or friends? Why did He tell Him to go home? He wanted Him to go around people that knew what He was and let them see what He is. It's not what He was. And they're going to say, how did this happen? Who did it? And He's going to announce that Jesus Christ did the work. That's what God wants right now, is that you and I be walking exhibits, that you and I be walking demonstrations of the grace of God. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. The priority of going. Going with the Savior meant more to the man that had gotten saved. That's what He wanted. But going for the Savior meant more to Jesus. Well, I don't know about you, but man, that was big. And the last thing, and I'm done, verse 40. Well, in Luke 8, it'd be verse 40. Mark, it'd be... Let's read 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them. God wants our faith to be verbal. Amen. Right. Right. What's this? Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Luke adds a word there, I just thought about it. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done for thee. Did you get that, Brother Silas? Luke says, go home and show what great things I've done. Mark's account says, go home to thy friends and tell them. Amen. You talking about that show and tell? That there it is. Amen. Show and tell. Show and tell. Tell what you can show and show what you can tell. If you can't show it, don't tell it. If you tell it, show it. People can hear it and see it and be convinced that the Lord is able to do great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Amen, Jesus. Now watch this. Now I'm done. Number five. The production of go, or the persuasion of go. Look at it right here. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. In other words, Jesus loved me at my worst. I just happened to see that. He said, don't just show them what I've done, but be sure to tell them that there's a man, hallelujah, sent from God who's had compassion on you. The most unlikely person in that whole area was him to love. Probably nobody loved him. Probably nobody wanted to see him come. They was glad he was living in the hills, in the tombs. But now you be sure now when you go home to your friends, tell them not just what I've done for you, but you be sure to tell them that I've had compassion on you. Oh, glory to God. If we're not careful, we'll get in this frame of mind. Sometimes we'll forget what we used to be and how sorry, no count, that we were and deserving of nothing from God. I want to tell you, if we're not careful, we'll think there might have been a little something there that was lovable. But the Bible says in Romans 5, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Amen. On a Wednesday night, I'm having a good time preaching. Amen. Bragging upon a Savior that has compassion on wicked people. You can't go to nobody on planet Earth, regardless of their history or record, and tell them God doesn't love you. Amen. You have the scriptural right and the scriptural permission to go and tell everybody, everywhere, no matter how you are, who you are, Jesus loves you. Amen. Brother Klepper gave it to us a while ago. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's not a person ever been born of a woman that God doesn't love. Hallelujah! I was aiming to get to my last point, but I just saw that and I thought, oh, mercy. He didn't just tell him to go and tell what great things. Oh, I don't know if we get that last point or not, Brother Carroll. But you know what he said? He said, go tell him what great things. Come on now. Do you view still yet today that what God's done for you to be great? Oh, preacher, when I got saved, oh, I sung and shouted and danced about and oh, I sung it from the housetop. Well, what's wrong now? What was great, is it not still yet great? What do you think we're going to be shouting about in heaven? The very thing that He told this man, the great things that He's done for us. What a Savior that has done great things for us. You say, well, preacher, I don't see much to shout about. Well, maybe you're looking in the wrong direction. You may not can look at the bank account and shout. You may not can look at your car and shout. You may not be able to look in your closet and shout. You may not be able to look anywhere in your house and shout. Yeah, you may not even be able to look in the mirror and shout. But I want to tell you, look in the Bible and shout. You can look up and shout, praise God. Great things. Great things done for us and done in us ought to come out as great. We ought to live great lives for a great Lord that has given us a so great salvation. Woo! Glory to God. I got to deal with this and hush. Whew, mercy. It's been a while since I've had a coming fast and I can get it out. Oh yes! You know what that is? We talk about it 10, 15 minutes on in the service. God speaking. Amen. Amen. You can come on Wednesday night and God speak. Hallelujah. Amen. About to get excited. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Ain't nothing like it. Nothing like it. I used to play football years ago, and I know what it is to run a touchdown. And hear people hoop, hurrah, and shout and holler and all that. That ain't nothing compared to what I'm feeling in my soul. Amen. Amen. And what's this? He told him to go, and verse 20 says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Decapolis was a region of 10 cities. He didn't just go home and start right. And I believe the reason he hit 10 cities is because there was at least 10 cities knew about him. How many people that knew you on the other side of the cross, on the other side of salvation, that knows anything about you now? Oh, I want to tell you, when I got saved, they said, old Barry will be back. He's the clown. He's the party clown. He's the class clown. He'll be back. He won't stay away from his friends that long. Guess what? I've had the privilege to preach at least two of my class reunions. Amen. I want to report to them. It's been almost 30 years. January 20th will be 30 years. I've not been back. At least not been back. The old Barry, the old me. Amen. They know that whatever happened to me in that altar January 20th, 1981, did something, amen. And did something big, and he ain't over it yet. Thank God. One of my friends I have not seen in years. I mean, probably, I wouldn't say, I'd be afraid to say 20 years. Close to it, probably. More than that, probably. I've been saved 29 years. Sent me a message on Facebook and done found our church website and done been on our listening to our choir sing and special numbers and listening to the preaching and wrote me back and just wrote me a little note and said, it's good to see you still serving God. And that person, last time I seen them, wasn't serving God. Last time I seen them, they don't even know if they're even saved or not. But they said, hey, you know what, preacher? I'm glad to know you're still preaching. I'm glad to know you're still with it. You know why? Because what God done for me, Brother Bill, I still to this day describe it as great things. Listen to this, I'm done. I know I've said that a dozen times. Amen. If it was dull and boring, I don't know, it might be on the pew side, but on the pulpit side, ain't a lick of it, amen. I'm excited. I feel a tug in my soul. Magnifying the grace of God. Listen to what the Bible says here. Let's see, where was it? Matthew? Let me read it right here. Let me see right here. Let me see. And Luke 8, 43 told him, return to his own house and show what great things God hath done for him. And he went his way and be published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were waiting for him. The next verse! You say, preacher, what made the difference? That same crowd that said, Jesus, depart from our coast. Get away from us. After this young man went strolling through the streets to sing an Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. Jesus came back to town and the people was waiting on him. And they gladly received him. One man made a difference. I'm talking about the production of go or the persuasion of go. You go. You go. Listen. I believe I can say this. You go. and show and tell what great things God has done for you. And I just believe that somewhere along the way, your life is going to touch somebody, and they're going to want to know the Jesus that you know. Amen. God, help us to live our life to point people's attention to Jesus, so that when He shows up in a service, or He walks through His Holy Spirit into your bedroom, or walks into the pages of God's Word into your life, that you'll receive Him. That you'll receive Him. Are you living a life that's changing anybody's mind about the Lord? We're in a world of people that don't want Jesus, don't want nothing to do with Him. But I believe if people knew you, who you were, see you now after the grace of God has come in your life and changed you, it'll do something for them. They may not can explain it, but they will have to agree you are not what you used to be. Amen. Amen. Oh, when they see the change, and you say, oh, it wasn't reformation. It wasn't religion that did it. It was a Redeemer that did it. Hey, man. What man could not do, Jesus did. To God be the glory, and magnify Him and brag on Him and lift Him up and point Him out. And when He shows up, there'll be somebody say, hey, what you done for her and him, would you do that for me? Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Man, I've had a good liberty to preach tonight. I mean, just... Amen. Boy, nothing like it. Nothing like the touch of God. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Amen. 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 How long's it been since you got excited about the great things God's done for you? Most people are not interested in the great things God has done. If He has done anything in their life, they're more interested in what great things they can get out of the world. What great recognition and great popularity and great pleasures. But that ain't nothing. If I could take what I feel in my soul tonight, and undeservingly so, Brother Bill, if I could take what I've got in my soul, what God has put on me tonight, and let me feel what I've been preaching, and put it in a bottle, it would be priceless. Put it in a pill, it'd be priceless. Oh, people, my friend, are cooking up all kind of meth and taking all these pills. Found out today that East Tennessee is the second. I told you the other day, it's top 15. Found out today, Virginia's first and Tennessee's second in the production and the giving out or whatever of prescription drugs. Tennessee, second in the nation. Why would they want to pay $25 and $30 for some pill that won't do nothing for them over a few minutes? Oh, I feel a high in my soul tonight, I'm telling you. Amen. You know what a spiritual high is when the Spirit of God elevates you above your circumstances. And let you enjoy the Lord in spite of what's going on in your life. Amen. How long's it been since you got high on Jesus? Amen. Well, I'm going to hush. Let's all stand. God's good. Amen. Father, thank You for the privilege of being in Your house tonight. Lord, I pray You'll take the message, Lord, in that feeble effort, God, to declare Your heart. Help us, Lord, to know that it's Your will for us to go. Lord, I'm failing. I don't know of anybody that's succeeding and is successful 100%. But Lord, I want to thank You that You've given us some people here at the church that goes. Lord, not just go here and there, but just constantly got a witness in their life and a witness on their lips and passing out tracts. And oh, it's good. Lord, I believe You're going to bless that, and I believe You are blessing that. I believe that's the reason we've got visitors. A lot of visitors coming. Is You're honoring that. Honoring that. Oh yes, Lord. Have Your way, Lord. Take the message. Drive it home to our heart. Because what happened to this man happened to us. You set us free from the law of sin and death. You set us free from all the evil and wicked spirits that controlled our life. And now you put within us your Holy Spirit. And may we submit and surrender to the Holy Spirit and be filled and possessed with the Holy Spirit. And let it be evident in our life. Help us to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.